Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. When asked what it means to be a Christian, most everyone, maybe even some of you, would respond, it means to love one another as Jesus first loved us. Oh, how great it would be that we could love as our Lord commands. Oh, how great it would be that we would love others as we love ourselves. Oh, that we would love so as to walk in a worthy manner of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Oh, that we would be known as our community's Good Samaritan for helping, for kindness, for sacrifice, for love. But competition for that spot is tough, isn't it? It seems our neighbors here in Utah often beat us to the punch in the nice department. Truthfully, our love is lacking. And it always will be. But why? Because too often we separate our love from our deliverance. We separate our love from our rescue by the hands and feet of our Savior. When we think of being delivered or rescued, we probably think of those unfortunates who are thrust into a terrible situation. The people who are being rescued from their flooded homes in Louisiana, or a woman kidnapped and held against her will by some sadist. Well, they need rescuing. Or people forced by stronger people to be enslaved. They need deliverance. Victims of some terrible accident in a coal mine or on a highway, they need saving by heroic measures. But what do you, regular middle-class Americans, need rescuing from? A house payment? College debt? A bad marriage? We only imagine that these situations are the worst. They're not. St. Paul writes that we have been delivered from the domain of darkness. Eve's sin and Adam's fall have placed us in dire straits. We were from conception in the domain of the devil. We are not just hell-bound and bent on evil. We were born in hellish and evil and in the condition of sin. And the wages of our sin is death. We need rescuing. We need deliverance. Who will deliver me from the body of death? Asks Paul in Romans. Only one can. Only one has. Jesus Christ it is. Jesus' method of deliverance is really quite unusual by human standards. He does it by dying. He does it by laying down His own life, by paying the very last penny, by giving up everything He has. Many people are good neighbors to their neighbors by giving them some of their extra tomatoes, or by helping with the construction of a shed, or moving a piece of large furniture. But Jesus' good neighboring to us is a bit more extravagant. Sin and death cannot be overcome by being nice and loving our neighbor only the way we love ourselves. God's wrath over sin is real. His pronouncement to Adam that disobedience has consequences means just that. The consequence is death. Overcoming death would not be accomplished by a little rain on the tomato plants or a nice day to move. Death would be defeated by extravagant means. God would give the gift of His only Son through a virgin. His only Son would give up His life on a cross as a once-for-all sacrifice. God would call this the free gift of righteousness, while the judgment of God for sin brought condemnation. Now, the free gift of God in Jesus has brought justification. Call it deliverance. Call it rescue. Sinful man would have never conceived of such a plan. God did, by His grace, by His mercy. He has considered the poor, all of you, all mankind who are lost in sin, and He has delivered you, the poor. He has delivered you out of darkness and into His marvelous light. You are freed from the clutches of the devil and transferred into the kingdom of His beloved Son. All who are baptized receive this rescue. Holy Scripture plainly says whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. The Large Catechism plainly says, therefore, state it most simply in this way: the power, work, profit, fruit, and purpose of baptism is this. Baptism now saves you. For no one is baptized in order that he may be a prince, but as the words say, that he may be saved. We know that to be saved is nothing other than to be delivered from sin, death, and the devil. And Paul is able to commend to the Colossians for their love because it is not separated from the rescue of Jesus and His love. His love has created faith in them, and that faith works love. And not in the members of the Colossian church only. Paul can claim the gospel deliverance in the whole world and the fruit that it bears. The redemption by Christ delivers all mankind in order that we walk in a manner worthy of the Lord in love. But who loves first? Man? Well, God. We love because He first loved us, John says in 1 John 4:19. And by this we know love, that He laid down His life for us, 1 John 3. God's love precedes our love. Faith precedes love. Faith loves the forgiveness of sin wherever our Lord gives it. If our Lord declared that the forgiveness of sins was in giving bags of tomatoes to our neighbor, or leaving some of the grapes hang on our vines for the hungry, or paying for an indigent's hotel room, then we would listen. Listen! You've heard it in the gospel. It has come to you. You have believed it. You are redeemed. You are baptized. You eat your Lord's flesh and drink His blood. Often, it is for your forgiveness. It is to strengthen your love. Not only is there life in the body and blood of Jesus into forgiveness, there is strength to love our neighbor. Nevertheless, our love is not what it seems or what it ought to be. It needs bolstering. It needs improvement. It receives strengthening that is given through the faith that is given to you in your baptism. When the Lord's servant Moses spoke and taught the Israelites about loving their neighbors as they loved themselves in the Old Testament reading from Leviticus, it seemed doable. Who would hate himself? If hungry, who would not want someone to provide him with some food? If falsely accused, who would not want someone to defend him? If oppressed, who would not want help? If taken to court, who would not like impartiality? If guilty of a sin, who would not desire the forgiveness of a brother? Oh, that we would do what we would like done to ourselves. But love of self is far easier than love of our neighbor. We fight our neighbor over fence line property issues and growl when our neighbor gets more blessings than we get. We listen to one neighbor gossip about another neighbor and we don't walk away. We have the freedom to speak against the oppression of our littlest neighbors, the babies in the womb, and we will not stand or march or sign petitions or vote against the politicians that allow such horrible, heinous murder. We fail to make proper judgment at times in favor of the rich, to the disadvantage of the poor. Finally, worst of all, we hold grudges and we seek retaliation on those who have crossed us. Paul prayed for the strengthening of the Colossians as he wrote in this letter, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. The Christian fight or race isn't an easy one. Long-term endurance is needed. Faith can falter and love can grow cold. God gives power. By the hearing of His Word, by receiving of His Holy Sacrament, not according to our need, but according to the measure of His grace. And it's a good measure, abundant, overflowing, for that is the nature of His love. In Jesus' name, amen. And the peace of God, that peace that passes all human understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus until He returns again in glory. Amen.